the spirit world, answering your questions on angels, demons, and how the spiritual and physical worlds interact. And now your hosts, Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the Spirit World, listeners and followers. Thank you so much for being with us today on this wonderful broadcast of your show. That's right, because we're taking your calls. We're talking about designing your Lenten discipline. That's what we're all about, Lent, how to properly enter into Lent and get the most out of this wonderful season on a liturgical year. But Adam, we always begin with the St. Michael prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. So, Adam, so excited to be with our Spirit World listeners. We are on video today, so we're waving to you, everybody on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, Rumble, TikTok. Get those chats going and put in how you are going to really take on Lent and make it be very spiritually deep. That's what we are definitely addressing today. We are opening up the phone lines. We have Lori waiting to answer your call. If you have something to share about how to increase the experience of Lent. Okay, we have an opportunity, guys. We have an opportunity to go deep, and we want to do this together. And Adam and I, we are sharing some challenges with the Spirit World family, and these are things that we are willing to enter into as well. So don't think that just because we're like, oh, these are great ideas, we're going to share them, we want challenges, we're going to issue challenges, but we're not going to take them on. Oh no, we're going to take them on with you, because we journey together as the mystical body of Christ. So if you're a spiritual director or a counselor, maybe you work in the diocese, you work at the parish level, please call us and let us know what Lenten practices have really worked. We want to go super deep with God this Lenten season. And here's the number, 877-757-9424. Start calling right now, 877-757-9424. And we just want to thank Guadalupe Radio Network for producing this show. Thank you, our senior producer, Tim Mott. It's heard all over the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So we are being broadcasted all over the world. So we welcome our international callers. We'll inch you up to the front of the line, because we know that it's hard to wait on hold if you're calling in from Sweden or the UK. So please consider calling in, because this is your show. You can tell I'm excited about this, Adam. I'm trying to approach Lent in a different way, because Lent has always been very difficult for me ever since I started in ministry since 1989. But I heard recently that sometimes if you have your Lenten experience outside of Lent all year long, then Lent can actually be quite enjoyable.
Yeah, actually, that's something that I've kind of fallen into just naturally. So a few years ago, I just continued the fasting on Fridays, you know, from meat. And it just seemed like a good idea. And so it becomes just a regular part of life. It's not like, and put your hand to your forehead and, you know, suffer through it. It just becomes normal. Now, the nice thing about it is still a sacrifice, but it becomes more of a reminder of why Friday is important. So it's not so much like, oh, I'm doing penance for my sins, but I'm not eating meat on that day, it's a reminder of why is Friday important. You know, it's to remember aspects of the salvation story, to remember the cross and the sacrifice on the cross. And so you kind of offer it up in union with that. So yeah, Deb, like exactly, as you take certain things from Lent just throughout the year, I think it bears fruit, because it becomes kind of a touchstone and a reminder outside of your Sundays, where we normally, you know, most people think about their faith on Sunday more than any other day. But as you expand Lent, it can lead to thinking about it other days. I guess I wanted to, for the people that aren't sure, because there's always people that aren't sure, and that's totally fine. This is one place to learn. When we're talking about Lent, we're talking about a penitential season in the liturgical year that is reflective of the 40 days that Jesus spent fasting in the desert when he was tempted by the devil. It's a time for us to reflect on our sins, to try to overcome the temptations that we all experience. And the church specifically asks us to do three things in this time between Ash Wednesday, which is March 5th. Mm-hmm. That's when Catholics get those dark ashes on the cross on their foreheads.
Right.
Through Holy Thursday, April 17th, and that's the beginning of the Triduum, the 3 days, three very special holy days, and leading up to Easter Sunday on April 20th. So this is a time that the church asks us to do more prayer, to take on more fasting, and to take on almsgiving. And that isn't necessarily giving money to the poor. That can be your time, your talents, your money, you know, an extra project you might do, helping out at the parish, whatever it might be. And so for most people, those challenges fall within those three spheres, prayer, fasting, almsgiving. But I want to remind everybody, Lent is a particular time for not only getting to confession, because of course we want to go to confession leading up to Easter, right? Technically, the church requires going to confession at least once a year, presumably leading up to Easter, which is for Catholics, you know, an extremely important day to receive communion and participate in Mass. But it'd be great to get to confession before Ash Wednesday to start Lent on a good footing. And remember, confession isn't just confessing your sins, but it's making a commitment to how am I going to overcome these sins and get them out of my life.
Yeah. It's so interesting you said that, because I actually am planning on going to confession right before Lent starts. And so I'm taking on that challenge right there. That I love that. That's, I totally agree with you. Don't wait till the last minute to go to the sacrament of reconciliation. It's a healing sacrament, folks. Okay. So important. So make sure you make time to get to confession and so to really start your Lent off right. So that's the first one. Okay. I've got that down. We've got many Lenten disciplines that we are going to issue, and we're taking them on with you. Okay, that's, we're journeying together. Let's really do Lent right this year. Let's really bring glory to God. Let's really go deeper in our faith. And on Easter Sunday, when we are to say Alleluia, right? Because we're an Easter people, like John Paul II said, we can really and truly celebrate, and that would be amazing. And so, oh wow, look at the social media go. We have a lot on the socials today. So wave again, Adam. This is awesome. You guys are really going strong. Put in your comments there. And Lori and Tim will happily retrieve those and put those on the show document. But we'd love to hear your voice today on this live broadcast of the Spirit World. If you have something to say about Lent, how you are going to take on Lent this year in a whole new way, a very different way, you've got some ideas, please don't hesitate. We want to hear from you. 877-757-9424. That's the number to call. We're very friendly, and we'd love to hear your ideas about this. So that's the first one. Get to confession early. Do you have another Lenten discipline?
Well, I want to remind everybody that, you know, Lent often becomes a time when it's like, oh, I'm doing this extra stuff for God, and oh, I've got to give this stuff up, in this kind of vague way. When you get to confession before Lent starts and you say, okay, here's my hit list. I've got these three sins that I know I've been wrestling with for years. I'm going to use the prayer, fasting, and almsgiving as tools to fight these temptations this Lent. So it can become something that's beneficial, where I am doing it for God and I'm doing it for everybody else. You know, my friends and brothers and sisters that are in the church militant here, but I'm also doing it for me. This prayer is strengthening me when it comes to wrestling with this temptation. Mm-hmm. You know, this fasting is strengthening me when it comes to this temptation. So let Lent be something that you're not just doing for God, but you make it something personal. And God's going to be pleased with that because you're wrestling with those temptations, and it is a penitential season. But let's take prayer, Deb. What's like the easiest one? If somebody says like, well, I don't know a whole lot about prayer. Like I kind of remember the rosary and I know the Our Father and I say grace before meals usually. You know, I'm not sure how to take on more prayer. A really easy way to do it is just get to Mass an additional time each week. The Mass is our greatest prayer.
Yeah.
And so, and it's done for you. You know, you're kind of guided through it, and there's other people there, and if you forget something, you can just follow along as best you can, you know. That's an easy way to increase your prayer without saying, like, oh, I've got to figure out, you know, these additional things and then do them.
I love that. So an additional Mass each week. Now, we have a lot of daily Mass goers, and that's wonderful. So this is something I just wanted to add on. I issued this and take two on last week for our Take Two listeners. That's the weekday show on EWTN, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And I issued this challenge. I said, okay, I'm doing this too, you guys, so we're all going to do it together. Arrive 10 minutes early to Mass and stay 10 minutes after Mass. Oftentimes there are prayer groups that meet before Mass. They pray the rosary. There's groups that stay after and they pray the St. Michael prayer and other prayers. But stay with Jesus after Mass for 10 minutes and go early and prepare yourself for Mass 10 minutes. So 10 minutes before Mass, then 10 minutes after Mass. What do you say, Adam?
Yeah, I think I really enjoy that. Particularly staying after Mass and reflecting on the fact that, you know, for me at least, Deb, I don't know about you, but the most intense time of prayer during the week is basically the 5 or so minutes after communion when I sit back down and kneel and pray. Mm-hmm. And so I like to have quiet time after the church is kind of emptied out mostly and things have gotten a little bit quieter to kind of reflect on whatever I was feeling in prayer that day before stepping back out into the world. And yeah, praying beforehand, even if it's just, you know, a few Hail Marys, maybe it's not the whole rosary. But yeah, there's usually a group praying those, or go kneel, you know, before the tabernacle for 5 minutes before Mass and just have a talk with Jesus and ask for a fruitful Mass.
And something that Jerry Usher mentioned last week on Take Two, and then I picked up on that because I was when I was in parish work for many years, I used to see a ton of families come in to church, obviously, and it was so beautiful when they had a lot of kids. Sometimes they would sit towards the back of the church or they'd sit in the cry room because they didn't want to disturb, right? So we also said after Mass, take the kids as close to the tabernacle as possible. Instead of as the parishioners are going out, you inch your way closer to the tabernacle and let the children get as close to Jesus as possible. Wow, so many exciting things. This is a fabulous show so far. We got the calls coming in, designing your Lenten discipline. That's today on the Spirit World. Please call us 877-757-9424. And Adam and I will be right back.
This program is sponsored in part by Saint Candles. Founded by a music executive to comfort a friend diagnosed with a life-threatening illness, the Saint Candle Collection has grown to more than 25 candles. Each modern candle is handmade with a prayer coin inside and dedicated to a patron saint. Saint Raphael for healing, Saint Philomena for children, Saint Anthony of Padua for finding love, and many more as well. To see which Saint Candles are available, visit saintcandles.com.
The month of February is dedicated to the Holy Family. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our family. Open our hearts to receive your love. May our home be another Nazareth, so that our family may be a place where your peace and love abides. Open our eyes to recognize the gift and beauty of life, so that we may find joy in your presence among us. grant us pure hearts seeking holiness, generous hearts full of your love, merciful hearts ready to forgive, and tender hearts full of kindness. May our family be a sanctuary of life and love, a beacon of hope, drawing others to your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. O Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, Holy Family of Nazareth, pray for us.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Oh, what an exciting show this is turning out to be. We got calls coming in. There's still a couple open phone lines if you'd like to jump on one of those open lines and share with us your Lenten comments and how you really enter into this great season and make the most of it. 877-757-9424. We will get to the phones in just a minute, Adam, but I wanted to share that the social media groups and chats are going strong. On Facebook, Christopher said, "Good morning. I always pick a saint and take that saint as my companion through Lent." Oh, do I love that idea, Adam. You know who I'm going to pick. This year it's going to be Blessed Carlo Acutis. Okay. And then Valerie, wave to Valerie. Valerie says on YouTube, she wanted just to let us know that she listens to us while washing dishes. Boy, that's a lot of dishes you got to wash, Valerie, for a whole hour there, but keep going. That's good. And then Adam, more comments are coming in. We've got phones ringing. This is great. And I wanted to send it back to you to see if you have more challenges. I do have one ultimate challenge that I want to issue to the Spirit World family and also the Take Two family, if you're listening, because some from the Take Two group listen to us on the Spirit World. But again, we're not issuing these challenges that we are unwilling to do. Okay. We are taking it on with you as well, because that's what the body of Christ does. And the show team is doing it too. So we're all in this together. So Adam, more Lenten disciplines.
Yeah, I'll just, let me just share all the ones that I was thinking about before the show started, because I know we're going to get to calls and then the show will be over in a heartbeat. So yeah, with the prayer part, I think the easiest thing is to just go to an extra mass, or as you said, maybe go in a few minutes early, stay a few minutes afterwards, pray a little bit. Picking up the breviary, the Catholic prayers that are spread throughout the day, you can now get breviary apps where you can start adding a little bit of those prayers. Even if it's just morning prayer and evening prayer, that could be a place to start. It can be really neat for those that haven't looked at the breviary to look at the readings for the day. Mm-hmm. Even if you just looked at the readings for each day, I promise you, you will have a very fruitful Lent, because some of the stuff that you will get out of the readings, which is from different priests and saints and religious, all different figures down through the centuries, just some of the most incredible insights that you'll get that'll really build your thinking and build your faith. Of course, the rosary is a great place to go. Simply meditating on the gospel is something really powerful to do during Lent, especially at least meditate some on the gospel story of Jesus's temptation.
Right.
You know, sometimes we vaguely talk about that, but maybe go back and really read it. And reflect on it. Fasting, you know, I like the idea for people. I used to work in the state prisons here in psychological services. Alcohol is involved in the vast majority of the crimes that end up putting people in prison. Alcohol or drugs, but alcohol is super common. I think it can be really helpful to decrease alcohol. Or if you don't use much of it, maybe just eliminate it for Lent, though I know that can be hard for some folks. At least decrease it to where you're never getting drunk during Lent.
Limit, I love that. Never get intoxicated.
Never. Okay. Yeah. So never go beyond one drink, maybe. So you can still be social. You can still have a glass of wine or a beer with your friends. But maybe for Lent, never take it beyond that. Okay. Right. Or maybe a drink and a half. But like find a line that works for you, stick to it. I think it can be good to get rid of sweets and desserts and really, you know, foods that can, they can be really decadent. They're not good for you anyway. They can lead to the sugar high and all of that. Maybe give up something like that. Now, of course, in most places in the world, if not all, we are asked as Catholics to not eat meat on Ash Wednesday and then on the Fridays during Lent. Mm-hmm. So we do want to remember to try to follow that, but follow right. your local bishop's conference.
Yeah, and then there's ages. Yeah. You can find it all on the usccb.org, United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and you'll see the age requirements and everything, the requirements for the Lenten journey.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and there's exceptions for certain things. You know, right. the church is
Medical
reasonable about that.
Too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then almsgiving, you know, time, talent, and treasure. It's not just about giving some money. In fact, we've talked, Deb, over the years a number of times. You and I seem to agree. It's more fruitful to do something where there's a personal encounter with a human being as opposed to dropping $5 in the poor box at church and walking away. Do something where there's an actual encounter with a human being. You're going to get more out of that for you, and they're going to feel a little more mm-hmm. love and connection. Also.
Absolutely. Okay, so I have a suggestion, and it goes along with the big ultimate challenge that I really like to share with our listeners. Maybe volunteer at your local Catholic radio station. Call your local Catholic radio station where you're listening right now and say, do you need any volunteers? Can I stuff envelopes? Can I be part of the pledge drives? Can I help with the mailers? Anything like that? Or go out there to the parishes and raise awareness about Catholic radio. We always need volunteers. And that's an awesome way of almsgiving to help other souls and to connect with other souls. And be part of the bigger Catholic community, especially through Catholic media. And then that leads me to the ultimate, if I may say, Adam, I am. This is coming from my heart only because, Adam, you know this. I'm on social media. I have to check on the internet all the time, and I have to. I'm a bit of a news junkie. I will tell you that I love catching up on the news every single day. And I'm going to take this on, and I hope that others will join me with this. I am turning off any secular media headlines, news blurbs, podcasts, anything like that, that is going to distract me from my focus on God. And I'm taking it away for Lent. Now, I will, and I hope everybody agrees with me on this, I'm staying attached and connected to the resources that EWTN provides, like Catholic News Agency and Church Pop and the Register, and of course, EWTN Television and Catholic Radio. And that's what I'm going to stay attached to for Lent. And I'm going to peel off and remove all the secular things that are highly annoying, disruptive to the spirit. It doesn't work. I know people from life coaching, Adam, when the clients will say, you know, my sleep is just, I'm so agitated. And I said, well, what did you do right before you went to sleep? They said, I scrolled the internet, and it's just one negative thing after another. I mean, how could you possibly have a good, peaceful night's sleep when that's the last thing that's in your mind? What do you say?
Oh, yeah, we know that from psychology. You know, what you do right before bed has a big impact, of course. One of the neat things about Lent, Deb, is it's 40 days long, which is right in line with a lot of the literature on how long it takes to build a new habit or to break mm-hmm. yourself of a bad habit. So it's a real opportunity to maybe cut out the most kind of divisive and dividing and negative and, you know, just kind of exploitive stuff that comes at us through the internet and through the secular right. news, you know, the drama. It's a good opportunity to, even if you're just think of it as giving yourself a break.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like just delete certain apps from your phone for those 40 mm-hmm. days. See what life is like without being barraged by this stuff.
You're free. It feels great. I can tell you that. What do you say? You want to get to the phones? We've got a lot of folks waiting.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll have Tim introduce our first caller, and I believe Gabe got in right before Deacon Doug. So Deacon Doug, hang on, and Rich and the others, and we will properly welcome Tim, our first caller.
Gabe from Cleveland, Ohio, listening on AM 1260 The Rock. Thank you for calling Spirit World.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm actually a woman. It's Gabe, short for Gabrielle. Hi, Debbie. I love you, and I love you too, Adam.
Hello.
Hello.
Good to hear your voice again. So I know you love Lent. So tell us what you...
You know what?
Yes,
my life is Lent. So usually, guys, I need you to pray for me. I've been homebound and very ill a lot because of my disabilities. But typically, I would go every day as a daily communicant, and I was part of at Sacred Heart Parish, and Sacred Heart Church, yeah, Sacred Heart Parish, and we would have afterward, we go into our Eucharistic chapel, and we're the Latria group, and we would pray the Rosary and the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and then I would stay afterward and spend as much time as I wanted, you know, just liberal amounts of time with our Lord. And I think most important, guys. Oh, Debbie, did I say that we get to do Lent? I wanted to tell you, we get to do Lent.
That's right. We get to do Lent. We don't have to do Lent. We get to do Lent. That's right.
Yeah,
I love your words. Go ahead.
I thought I would tease you with that one because mm-hmm. we do. And, you know, we have the whole host of heaven at our disposal all the time. Like, honestly, Padre Pio is on my left and Faustina's on my right. And I have a whole bevy of besties in heaven. So mm-hmm. I think if we can, it's our attitude, you know, that like Paul tells us, pray without ceasing, you know, mm-hmm. and every Monday I do a fast. It's like it's flame of love. It's to blind Satan, you know, and to convert souls. So it's like really easy, guys. I mean, and you could do bread and water, okay? That's their idea of the absolute fast. And, of course, if you're going to communion, there you got it. But, mm-hmm. it's, you know, you fast till 6 o'clock. I mean, there's so much. And I think recognizing when we go into church, we're stepping out of, like, time into eternity. And we are with everyone in heaven. I mean, it's a matter of, I think, you know, taking on the mind of Christ and keeping our focus on him. And there's just a myriad ways we can love him. And I think asking him, how do you want me to love you? You know, I mean, and I just beg him because I'm a sinner and I do have a potty mouth. I use salty language. I don't take the Lord's name in vain, typically. But I do ask him. I give him everything. You know, the good, the bad, the ugly, I could say the indifferent and the beautiful. You know, because...
Right. But Gabe, you said so many wonderful things. I want Adam to comment on a few of the Lenten practices, because I think what you have to share, I mean, you're all in. It's obvious you're all in with God, and that's a beautiful thing. Adam, comments.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say the one thing, Gabe, we need to remember, just because we have a lot of people listening that may not know about the Flame of Love kind of movement, and it is an approved private association of the faithful. Is the local, I believe it's a cardinal. The local cardinal did approve that, but that is a private revelation. It's not a public revelation of the church in the sense of the church isn't saying that this is a definitive thing. It's a private revelation that this woman received, but that isn't something the church has said is a truth. So yes, she received a private revelation about certain prayers blinding Satan, so to speak, but of course we don't know what that means because he doesn't have a body, he doesn't have eyes, but figuratively, I suppose. But we want to remember that anything that Satan is doing, it's because God allows him to do it. It's not because he's running free and we need to kind of stop him because God isn't able to limit his behavior. So, you know, if we just go to the story that we're about to enter into with Lent, if we go to the temptation in the desert, well, here's Satan with Jesus face to face, and Satan is allowed to tempt Jesus. He's not blinded or stopped from doing so. In fact, Jesus submits to that. He doesn't give in, he doesn't sin, but he allows Satan to tempt him and to put on all these shows. So I'm just saying that it's a good thing to remember that temptation is something God allows, ultimately for our benefit, because through the spiritual struggle we gain wisdom. But yeah, so just separating private revelation from formal declaration.
And that's a really good reminder. Gabe, you're awesome. Thank you for getting us started on this wonderful conversation today that we are speaking with our listeners of the spirit world. And God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your weekend. It's just got started for so many of us. So that's wonderful. We're going to actually get to Deacon Doug in Remsen, Iowa, Tim, before the break, and then we're only going to take one break this broadcast, so I don't want Deacon Doug to wait any longer. And Deacon is listening on Sirius XM 130. Hello, Deacon.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
And Adam, for allowing me to participate with you on your radio show. I listen to you all the time. Yeah.
Thank you, Deacon.
I've been a deacon for about 4 years, and a couple of years ago, my wife and I were talking about the people that we minister to at the assisted living establishment in the town where our parish is, and they never get to do anything. Some of them never get to leave the facility until they don't get to do any extra things to participate as a community during Lent. So we have a church that's a very Gothic church, over 125 years old, and the Stations of the Cross are absolutely stunning. They're hand-carved from Austria, and they're about 4 feet tall, and they're just so vivid and lifelike. And so my wife went and took pictures of all the Stations of the Cross, put them on a PowerPoint on her computer, and then we go to the assisted living and plug it into their big screen TV. Now, there are a few there that can't even read, but we take prayer books along. We usually use the St. Alphonsus Liguori version, and which is very descriptive. And some can read along with us, and some can't, so they look at the big screen TV, and it's a way for them to participate in something extra during Lent. And it has gone over very big. We even have people that come from the outside of the establishment and join us also. So, yeah, it's been a very beautiful thing. Yeah.
Thank you for calling in, Doug. I think that's also a great reminder for everybody. One of the wonderful things you can do in terms of almsgiving is visit one of the care homes. There's a lot of people that rarely, and for some people never, get visitors. And they have some amazing stories. Almost everybody has amazing stories, and it can be a wonderful encouragement, even if you just sit and pray with somebody, even if they're not able to fully have a conversation with you, just whoever you're moved to, sit and pray with them. And yes, giving people a way to kind of engage with Lent like that is wonderful. Yeah.
And I just wanted to say, Deacon Doug, thank you so much for the work that you do for all of us. We love the deacons. And so thank you for everything. As you said, 4 years you've been a deacon. That's wonderful. So your wife journeys with you. I know she's probably gone through the formation as well. That's how the diaconate works. But I just wanted to tell you, from my mom was in assisted living for many years, and they look at the same four walls over and over again. And so for you to bring the church to them, for you to bring the visual experience so that they can be in church when they have done that since they were, you know, little kids, and now they're in their 80s and 90s. And I just think that it hit me so hard, and I got so emotional. Thank you. Please thank your wife for doing that as well. What a beautiful, I mean, that is an act of mercy, Adam.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, go spend some time with some of the folks that are in the homes, because it'll break your heart, and it's going to be wonderful for them, it's going to be wonderful for you, and maybe you'll make it a visit once a quarter or something like that.
Right. I love that. Thank you, Deacon. God bless you. Have a beautiful weekend. Okay,
thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Wonderful call. Wow. I love when we hear from our clergy. Don't you love our deacons? They're amazing. We always have to pray for our priests and our shepherds that are leading us. That's very, very important, folks. And we take that very seriously here and on the Spirit World. But we'd love for you to join us and tell us your Lenten practices, your Lenten disciplines, like everyone else is weighing in on social media. Adam, got to wave again. Everybody's waving to us. 877-757-9424. This will be our last break. We'll come back for more phones and more comments and more questions and more about Lent when we return for the Spirit World.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for February 22nd. Today we celebrate the chair of St. Peter the Apostle. Put another way, today we commemorate Christ's choosing of Peter to sit in his place as the earthly leader of the Church, its first pope. Probably the best-known biblical text for today's feast is found in the 16th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus describes Peter as the rock upon whom he will build his church, and promises him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Peter has a unique status as the first disciple Jesus calls at the outset of his public ministry. Likewise, Peter is consistently named first among the 12 disciples. He witnessed Jesus transfigured and was asked to watch and pray with the Lord during the agony in the garden. Rushing to the empty tomb after the resurrection, John steps aside to allow Peter to enter before him. From early times, the chair or cathedra from which a bishop presided over his people became a symbol of his teaching authority. It was so for Peter as first bishop of Rome, and it remains so for the more than 260 popes who have followed him. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Want some more peace in your life? Need some more grace in your day? Want to wake up each morning excited about life again? Life coaching is there for you. We have a team of dedicated coaches willing to assist you in creating a plan for a better future with God as the focus. Jesus said, "I came for you to have life and to have it to the full." So begin anew at standtalltoday.com. Standtalltoday.com.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Oh, Lori's doing such a great job answering the phones. She's fabulous. So call in if you have something to say about Lent. This is the show to do it. And we are live today, 877-757-9424. And on social media, we have so many great comments coming in. Amy on YouTube, Adam said, St. Therese, the little flower, is her Lenten companion. I love that. And this a beautiful comment from Christopher on Facebook. Thank you so much. It really touched our hearts, your comment. Christopher says, this is a great show. So many good ideas to use. The show is making me feel we are a community doing this together. Love this. That's the exact, isn't that the exact reason why we do this show, Adam? We want to journey together. And it's the road to holiness, the road to sainthood, to get back to God with solid, authentic Catholicism, solid catechesis, right, Adam?
Yeah, exactly. You know, Catholic radio, like, I didn't understand the impact of it until these recent years and getting involved in it. It's just, you have no idea who's being touched out there. And we pray before the show that Jesus inspire us to say what he once said and inspire the people to hear what he wants them to hear, mm-hmm. and to get out of it what he wants them to get out of
it.
And
that's right.
I'm just grateful to be along for the ride and seeing what he's doing. Because, yeah, it's part of how we encourage each other in this journey.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, similar to encouraging a friend, but you get to do it with 100 million people. It's an amazing gift.
So definitely join the virtual community on Facebook. You can like us on Facebook at the Spirit World Podcast. How about you could subscribe to the podcast? It's an easy way to share if you can't listen live. You subscribe to the podcast. All you have to do is search the Spirit World in any podcast app. So join the community, join the family. Let's keep growing it across the world, you guys. We can do this together. So I love what Christopher had to say. So thank you for those kind words. Want to go back to the phones, Adam?
Absolutely.
Okay. Tim Mott, our senior producer, can you welcome our next caller, please?
We have Rich from Queens, New York, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Thank you for calling, Rich.
Hi, guys. Love your show.
Hi, Rich.
I listen to it every week. It's an inspiration. Adam, you're so right. You have no idea how important Catholic radio has been. I'm just not speaking for myself, but I talk to a lot of people who have been impacted over the years. So what I want to start with is, you know, I've been dealing with pornography and lust for like the better part of 50 years of my life. And I've called in before about this, but the last 2 months, since January 1st, I decided to implement a few new approaches. One was I reduced my sugar intake by like 70%. I added 30 minutes of sleep to my my daily routine. What else did I do? There's a few other things. I stopped social media in November, posting on there. Just these little impacts. And I actually have a spiritual director now for the last 2 months. And I got to tell you that I am a totally different person thanks to, and a shout out to Our Lady, who has been instrumental in my life getting me out of this addiction. I'm a happier, peace-filled, loving, less angry person than I was before. It's just, Christ is amazing. He promises abundance in our life and true freedom. But what we're doing, and I just wanted to say that before I say anything else. But what else I wanted to do was talk about we're, as a group, our men's ministry will be using the book by Mother Mary Frances called A Time for Renewal: Daily Reflections for the Lenten Season, and I'm just looking so forward to this Lenten season because of the freedom that, like I said, Christ brings to, Christ has brought to my life. It's just been amazing. It's been a wonderful journey. I love the suffering that I went through. Now I see why God allowed this. And I'm just so grateful.
So Rich, guaranteed there are innumerable people around the world wrestling with pornography and, you know, addiction to that. So I know you started with a spiritual director 2 months ago, and you've seen a lot of changes in this time with things. If you were to pick and say it simply and quickly, because we don't have a whole lot of time, but it doesn't take a lot of time, Rich. If you were to pick the three things that have helped you the most in wrestling with sins of pornography and addiction to that, what have those three things been?
Surrender, confession, and definitely prayer. But I have to add a fourth thing. It's definitely a Christian counselor. You need to have therapy.
Okay.
All right.
And for things that have gotten to the point that they're, you know, really a psychological addiction and they kind of have their hooks in you. And there's biological component to this, too, with the brain chemistry because of the way pornography stimulates the brain. So I'm not minimizing that. Okay, so you're saying find some professional advice from qualified people. If you can't get a counselor directly, there's resources online. Find somebody qualified, not somebody just firing from the hip and saying their own thing, but somebody that really knows what they're talking about. Prayer, of course, is central. I love how you cut out social media and you cut
and sugar,
down
too.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. you cut down on being just flooded with mm-hmm. stuff that it ends up brushing up against and being close to pornography or reminding you of pornography because of the stuff that's done to get attention in social media.
Right. But I just wanted to add, you know, the diet plays a lot into this. And it's very in social media. Absolutely. What you were just saying, Adam. But, you know, the sugar highs and lows when we're not balanced throughout the day and we have those dips during the day, we tend to go back to those habitual things that bring us some kind of comfort or something like that. So right. when you can stay balanced in your body. Right, Adam?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That can certainly be part of it. All right. So we hear, get some professional insight, prayer, of course, and surrender. So the idea that turning to Jesus and saying, you know, Lord, on my own, I'm failing over and over. I'm not sure how to do this on my own. Please help me. Please give me the grace either right. through the people in my life or, you know, something. That's
wonderful.
Get a
good night's rest too. Yeah.
Get a good night's rest. Get your yes. body stabilized. Yeah.
Yep. Rich, we are yeah. praising God. We have you in the book, the prayer book. We've got you covered in prayer. Keep going, okay, sir?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, guys. I love your show. I share it with everybody. God bless the both of you and everybody in our audience. God bless. I pray mm-hmm. for a fruit-filled Lenten season and a hope-filled Easter.
Beautiful.
Great.
Thank you, Rich. God bless you. Call us again. Check in with us. That would be wonderful. Okay, Adam, we're have to go fast now because we're going to run out of mm-hmm. time here on this episode. So we'll get to Jeannie. Jeannie is in Wales, Massachusetts on EWTN Online. Jeannie, welcome.
Hi, thank you and love your show. I try to listen every Saturday when I'm able to.
Thank you.
I just, you know, I was inspired to call because I wanted to share my Lenten sacrifice. It started 2 years ago, and last year I kind of dropped it, not intentionally, but my husband got ill, and so I never got around to it. But I picked it up again this year, and what I've done, instead of giving up chocolate or anything like that, I have taken 40 people. And I bought beautiful spiritual cards and religious inserts, and everyone for 40 days will get a special card saying that I'm thinking and praying for them. And 2 years ago when I did it, I got a lot of wonderful feedback.
So,
sort of like sending out Christmas cards for Lent.
Mm-hmm. So are you sending one to each of the people, or are you sending them multiple times during Lent?
I'm sending one card to 40 people. Actually, my list is more like 50, but just, yeah.
That's
sending
wonderful.
One card every single day and doing a spiritual insert. And on the envelope, I'm just crazy like this. I've worked in geriatrics all my life. Now I am geriatrics, but I have beautiful stickers on the outside envelope. So I've really dressed it up. It should bring a lot of joy to some people.
Oh, yeah.
And as you spoke earlier, some are in nursing homes, some are in facilities, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. That's what I did.
I think it's beautiful. What a personal touch. How creative. I think that is so generous of you, of your time to do that for people. It makes them feel like they're valued, they're loved. Wow, Jeannie. I wrote that down. I may have to borrow that one.
please do, because it really does make a difference, guys, and it makes me so happy to do it.
Oh, I love it. Don't you
but
love
anyway,
that, Adam?
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
On Saturdays, and I appreciate you both very much.
Well, God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you. Well, we appreciate
God
you.
Bless
Thank
you both.
Thank you. Okay, this is not exactly on topic, and I'm going to say that only because this seems very personal here, but we want to get to Scott in Portland, Oregon on Modern Day Radio, and because Scott, you called in, and we do have a few minutes, so let's address
sure.
your situation here. Hi, Scott.
Hi. Yeah, I have leukemia, and so I'll be spending time in the cancer ward and chemotherapy and then undergoing a stem cell transplant for Lent. And what I wanted to say was, even though I've always been firmly convinced of angels and demons and you know, the spirit world in general, being in the cancer ward at night in particular, you see a big shift where patients who are calm during the day at night, you know, they start like screaming profanities and blackmailing the nurses, telling the nurses, you know, if you don't sit next to me all night, then I'm going to scream all night. And you know, throwing pudding at the nurses. And the first time I went in for chemotherapy, I actually had, you know, visual experiences of evil spirits in the night, as though the spirits were very upset, you know, that the cancer was being driven out of my body. And, you know, it was very intense. I saw demons in three different forms. You know, I couldn't sleep because the chemo was kind of making me very, you know, very awake. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to say that, you know, in these places, you know, in trenches and war and in like cancer wards and things like that, you know, it's like the real world just kind of the veil between the spirit world and the real world is thinner in a way. Mm-hmm. And you just, you know, the spirit world just really puts itself front and center. So that's right. I had to share.
Well, Scott, hang on for a second because we have a couple minutes. I'd like for Adam to respond. First of all, Scott, I wanted to let you know I put you in the prayer book. We are going to be praying for you. Absolutely. Would you keep us posted, please? Okay, good, Scott. You can always email us at tsw@grnonline.com because we'll be journeying with you as you go through the treatments. But Adam, you know, Scott makes a really good point. And I will tell you, when I was going through the two bouts of cancer, I experienced some really strange things too, that it's an odd time when you're fighting an illness like that. Yeah, Adam.
Yeah, anecdotally, I've not experienced this, and I don't know if I ever will, but anecdotally, people that have been very close to death, where the body is very weakened, often have these kind of what seem to be real spiritual experiences. And then, of course, there's the near-death literature, where when the heart is stopped and things like that. But, you know, hospice nurses always talk about, you know, the dying seeing spirits. And I also, you know, I've had this thought, hospitals and, you know, cancer wards, and as you say, like foxholes, these mm-hmm. are places where people are praying in a way that they weren't before in their life.
True.
You know, when you're facing death, things change real fast, and people are bargaining, and they're bargaining sometimes with anything they feel they can appeal to. So, of course, God is always going to be present. He's always present. The saints and the angels are always present. But the bad guys are allowed to tempt us, mm-hmm. and some people are reaching out to anything in that fear. And so I wouldn't be surprised if the enemy was around because mm-hmm. some people are calling out to them.
That's interesting.
You know, but trying to bargain. So we want to really pray for the people that are in these type of situations, that they not despair. Because mm-hmm. it's in despair that we tend to turn to the enemy. This is an opportunity.
And sacramentals, too. Sacramentals should be brought in during when you're going through treatments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Holy water, this is
an opportunity for everybody listening. You know, think of the people that are facing real stresses like this, real fears like this. Maybe take up praying for the people that are fighting cancer as a Lenten discipline, as your additional prayer. Maybe this is why Jesus had Scott call. Maybe this is an opportunity for us all to pray for the people that they not despair, that they keep their faith and trust and hope in God as they face these things.
That's beautiful. Scott, thank you so much. Again, we've got you covered in prayer. Prayers. We're already getting messages coming in. Folks are praying for you, Scott. So have a beautiful weekend. And thank you for picking up the phone and making that call to us. Okay, we are getting ready to close the show. So you'll hear the music in just a bit. We want to thank Lori, our call screen screener today, Tim Mott, our producer. Thank you, Guadalupe Radio Network, for producing the show. Thank you, EWTN, for airing the show all over the world. Sean on Facebook said, just wanted to let you know, Adam, yesterday while praying before the Blessed Sacrament, out of the blue, felt compelled to pray for you, your exorcism team, and the people who are getting demons exorcised. Thank you both for your wonderful and powerful show. Wow. Next week, we've got Bishop Walter Scheid, who's going to be on with us, and we're going to ask him the question if there's a heightened demonic activity and angelic activity during Lent. That's another question that came in. That'll do it for Adam Bly. I'm Debbie Giorgiani. Until next Saturday, have a beautiful and blessed week. We'll see you real soon.